Do you believe that there is an imperfection in your life, in the universe, and in everything that there is? If you believe it is so, you will go and start to manipulate it in order to make it in a way how your me and I consciousness, my ego consciousness, wants to have it.
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
Welcome to another episode of Voices of the One Mind, where we delve into profound spiritual insights and explore the depths of the human experience. Today, we are discussing a topic that has become increasingly prevalent in New Age spirituality: the contrast between manipulating reality to achieve success and abundance versus embracing the authentic journey of life. Our guests today know that the popular concepts becoming more successful and becoming the best version of yourself are illusions that hinder true spiritual growth and expansion. We will explore the idea of living in the moment, facing our karma, and how affirmations might distract us from the present task that is essential for our spiritual evolution. Let's dive into the thought-provoking conversation with our guest, Bear. Welcome, Bear.
Thank you very much for inviting me for another episode. Thank you very much for being here. Very glad.
It's always a pleasure. We all live in a society where everything is planned, organized, structured, and since we are, let's say, little, we are taught to be in this structure, in a schedule from 9 to 5 in a job, in the kindergarten from 7 to 2 or 7 to 12, and so on. So in a way, our subconscious is programmed. And of course, from that age, what we see around us make us believe maybe that to survive in a system like this, or to fulfill all our obligation towards society, is by becoming abundant, by becoming successful. This intrigues us to desire to become more abundant, more successful, to fulfill our obligation towards society. Also to follow certain, we are programmed, I might say, to follow certain laws, certain regulations, and in a way we don't want to go out of the box. And here I'm not referring only about being open mind towards another situation, or being thinking out of the box. I am literally speaking about the box. I am envision a box where all the people cannot cross any line, because here probably interfere the fear of doing something else. Then it's already written. So I am thinking that many of us delve into this concept of becoming abundant, becoming successful, and we literally forget to embrace the authentic journey of life, to be in the moment, to literally don't plan every day and live as it unfolds. How do you see, or how shall we tackle these concepts becoming more successful, more abundant? How do you see the situation we are now in? And how can we move away from these illusions?
Well, we start best at the beginning, and I want to pick up the concept that you were bringing with the box. Now imagine there is a box, and as you say, there are people living in the box. The question is, do the people know that they live in the box? Are they conscious about the fact that they are living in a box? And before we go to the topic of our today's conversation, manipulating reality versus living the path of life, we have to come back to my constant question, who am I? Who am I? Everything starts with who am I? And from that point, everything expands. And for, it's like the who am I is like the root of a tree. And then there is, you know, the stem of the tree. And then there are the branches and the leaves and everything. So who am I is always the fundamental part where we start. And who am I now translates to the box. So do I know who am I? And the answer is no. I don't know who am I. If I stay with the example of the box, the people that are living within the box are not conscious about their existence. Right? Of course they can touch the body, but this is the deeper existence. I'm not talking about the surfacial, I am John, I am from, you know, England, I'm from London, this is my job. And these are the people who live in the box. So first of all, we have to see who is living in the box and who is living outside of the box. And before we can come to the main topic, we need to see who is doing what. So who is able to live a life in its unfolding, and who needs to manipulate its reality in order to become something. And that has to do with a soul that is awakened, a human being that is awakened, and the human being that is non-awakened, that is a dormant human being. And to make a long story short, the people who are living in the box are dormant souls. Souls that have not yet gone through the process of awakening. Now, there is different stages of awakening. People might still be within that box and have mastered a certain master. There is nothing to master. It comes, it unfolds in life. And here is the beautiful thing. The more you give yourself to life, the more the awakening process is accelerating. It goes faster. And so people that are manipulating their reality. So not all people are manipulating their reality. Most of the people actually are just staying in their, as you say, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5 system, in that matrix, in that fabric, and have no notion, not even an idea, but not a notion even that there is something for this beingness that could be achieved or done without that matrix. Well, then we have a second group of people that realize the matrix. They are not fully awake yet, but they realize the matrix, and then they start through manipulating the reality, manipulating energies in that matrix to create a life for them which they perceive is more beneficial for them than the life that they had before. And obviously then we have the third group of humans, the awakened people, who came to a state, the fully awakened people, who know that manipulating the reality is not the way to go. Because where does that come from? Who is manipulating the reality? Who am I? Who is manipulating the reality? The reality can be manipulated only through the ego, from the ego, from an I and me consciousness. That not only wants to have a change in life, but you were talking about the words like abundance, more successful, that phrase, become the best version of yourself. You know, you have been born in the best version of yourself, so you are always the best version of yourself. There is nothing that you can become. And here is the point, and that's the trick. Manipulating reality addresses time, space, reality that is inexistent, that is an illusion. So by manipulating the reality, I'm aiming to create a better life in the tomorrow. When a tomorrow doesn't exist, because the tomorrow is the today, and the yesterday, you know, is not in the today. And the today is the only reality that the human aggregate, that the human being with its body is living in, right? And so by trying to manipulate this reality, I'm just staying in my ego, you know, my ego consciousness, and I'm far away yet from the path of full awakening, because people that are awakened, that are on a spiritual path, and also here an important understanding is that the spiritual path is literally only an intermediary phase. It's kind of the person who goes into enlightenment and is enlightened eventually has given up any path. There is no spiritual path anymore. There is no consciousness anymore. There is no, it's the pure state of awareness. And even on that path already, you know, you realize, you understand that manipulating something is something that is in the ego mind and is definitely not part of the one mind, right? And because also with manipulating, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful about karma. We have to be very careful to harm other people. You know, I can manipulate realities that might harm other people. The word here and the way to go is really surrender. And as you said in the beginning, humanity is living in a construct that is very narrow. Everything is super organized, literally the box. And obviously, you need to give up that life of comfort, what others call the comfort zone, in order to expand. Because there is absolutely, literally no expansion, zero expansion in that box, in that matrix. So you need to leave that. And for most people, to leave that creates an uncomfortability, creates an insecurity. And by not knowing what is tomorrow, what is next week, it can also become even fear of that insecure future. Why? Because the human perceptual thinking, that process that is away from the one mind, that is away from the spiritual thread of connection to the Godhead. From that perspective, we feel that something else is giving us a framework as you said also in the beginning, and we try to fit in that framework, and we try to do our best to fit in that framework. And humanity, most of humanity has not yet awakened to a state to understand completely that framework is nothing else than slavery. Humans have not understood that literally they are living a slave's life. People say that. Many people may say, you are crazy, we are not living a slave's life, we are free, we can go on holiday, we can go... No, you cannot do anything. Everything is granted to you by that system. You know, you have your 5 weeks holidays, you don't have six, you have five, right? And you cannot marry the person you want to marry just with a ceremony. No, you need to go to the municipality and ask them for a lot of papers. Everything starts with the birth certificate, and so on, and so on, and so on. So there is completely no freedom within that matrix. And so it's a slavery system, and humans might better ask themselves, how come that... if you just think for yourself, if you look in your generations, your grandparents, your parents, your children, yourself, people around you, how many oppression the so-called government that we are supposed to be as we people is giving? How can that be in alignment with the free life of humans? People pay more than 80% taxes in every country of the world. More than 80% taxes at the end of the day. Don't get misled that you pay only 35% of income tax. You pay a sales tax, value-added tax, and other taxes more, and then things are 3, 4, 5 times taxed. So if the human would live in a free system, the human would not live in a system that is like a cage where you have no movement. The movement is only... what people misunderstand in freedom is the freedom of the physical body, right? So the physical body is free in that sense because... not completely. I will give you an example. But it's free in that sense. You can move from there to there. You can decide tonight you take your car and drive into the city and eat an ice cream, and you can decide if the boss grants you some holidays to fly to Africa and spend 3 weeks on a safari, whatever. However, the organized life of that human being has to stay always within these confines. I give you an example. Even the human body is not free. For example, in Germany, if you don't bring your children to school, if that happens for more than one day, and you don't call the school and call in sick for the kids, for example, the police will be at your door at 8 o'clock on the next morning to question you what's going on. And in the hardest case, they will take your kid and bring it physically to school. So only dormant human souls may understand such an action as I'm free, but this is part of the system that we have to do. But the soul that has awakened sees all the Maya, that illusion of you know, and also the harshness of this system, the energy raping that this system is really doing. And obviously, who is the system? That's the big question, right? Is it the few families or the grey people, the grey people, the bankers, and is it extraterrestrials? Yes, there are these forces in place. Absolutely, there are these forces in place. However, these forces have no power. These forces have no power over you. So this is the good message, that these forces have no power over you. But the forces have power over you if you give them your power, if you consent to what's going on. And why you do consent is because these forces have put thought processes into your mind that trigger fear. If you don't do that, this and this and this will happen to you. If you don't do that, you have to pay that and that fine. If we don't do that, we will come and take your kid.
How would you overcome this fear that is strongly implemented in us, but also I think for some of us, we are born with a bit of fear, a bit of trauma that needs to be overcome during the life journey on this planet. And I think this is also the lesson from all these experiences.
Well, how to overcome fear? Obviously, there is not just a button that you can switch off. So, how does a marathon runner win a marathon or finish a marathon? By training. Persistency, meaning continuation, continuity, meaning let me depict for you fear as a little story in nature. There is a forest, and in the middle of the forest there is a meadow. It's surrounded by forest. There is a little Bambi, and the Bambi knows that if the Bambi is safe in the forest, but the Bambi knows when. So the forest would be the matrix. But the Bambi knows, but there is no sun. There is no colorful flowers, right? And if you want to experience that, if you want to see the sky, if you want to see the heavens, you have to go out into that meadow. So the Bambi is coming to the edge and is looking every day a little bit more. And every day the Bambi is doing half a meter more. And eventually, at one day, the Bambi will stay in the will be staying in the middle of the meadow and just playfully jumping around and seeing all the beautiful flowers and looking up to the heavens, the sky, and to all the beauty and enjoying the sun. So, meaning, the human being can overcome its fear by testing. By testing. What do I mean with testing? If you're fearful that you have to always try a step more. Okay, I will not be obedient with this now. Let's see what comes out. And then you will realize, and you have to be partially awakened to even make that step. Because what does it mean? Many people cannot, if they are not awakened, they cannot connect the dots. Action and reaction. They cannot connect it. Meaning, if I do a step and I have to be strong to do that step and it turned out to be positive for me, to be benevolent for me, because what I was fearing so much from didn't really happen in that way. If I now can connect the dots, meaning I can say, well, I have done it this time, I can try it another time. And to make a long story short, if I have done it 10 times, I start to realize a pattern. The pattern is that the fear is only an illusion that is in my mind. It's not in my immediate reality, but the step that I'm doing, that's in my immediate reality. And so the more steps I do, the more I get courageous. The stronger I become, the braver I become, the braver to do another step, the braver to do a bigger step. And once one needs to be disobedient, yeah? And one needs to be disobedient to box thinking, disobedient to social structures. And when I say this, I absolutely don't mean that anyone should ever move a millimeter away from its conscience. When I say be disobedient, you don't steal, you don't lie, this is not what I mean with disobedience. Disobedience is this gray slime, that slurk that is hanging over humanity, that the obedience of these systems. And always when people are obedient to these systems, look how many people are there who set up these systems, right? It's only a few. And millions and billions follow. It's not really logic, right? It makes you laugh if you think about it.
But you are talking about a pattern. So in the same way that you form this pattern by experiencing and overcoming the fear, the same pattern we are forming subconsciously by manipulating, constantly manipulating realities.
Absolutely. Now again, only the group two of people can manipulate reality, right? The one that have partially awakened. That they realize that there is a matrix, that they realize there is a cage, and now they go. And I want to go a little bit into a box drawer, stay with the box drawer thinking. It's mainly the group of the New Age. You can call it New Age movement, New Age spirituality. These are souls that are kind of in a transition from a dormant state into a fully awakened state, and they are trapped there. And this group lives a life with the idea of all these words, abundance. I have the right to be abundant. I have the right to be the best version of myself, and I want to become the best version of myself. I want to become successful. 10K per month, you know, these phrases is all coming from that cryptocurrency. You name it. It's all in the same pot of that New Age. And why I say New Age? Because there is a New Age spirituality. So probably the people who are too deep into the cryptocurrency, they are not really into New Age spirituality. So there is different branches of that New Age, but generally it is I am, and I have the right to be fully abundant. And why do I have the right, and why do I need that right? That is the big question. And who is the I that needs that abundance, right? It's the not yet awakened I. It's that notion that is in the I call it the me and I consciousness, right? Meaning I take myself very serious, myself, you know, this Stephen, you know, with its job and with its possibilities. And I live only 70 or 80 or 90 years on this planet, and I really want to, you know, want to get the maximum out of it. And now the question is, I say yes. I absolutely say yes, get the maximum out of it. But the question is, who defines what the maximum is? What is the maximum? Is the maximum peace and the maximum freedom? The maximum on not having conflicts in life? The maximum on being at ease? The maximum of not having stress? Or is the maximum to have a big bank account, to have a fat car, to have the latest of everything, and to constantly travel the whole world just for fun? Is that the maximum? Having a lot of real estate, you know. And just a simple question that I want to give to the audience. If the latter is the maximum, why most of the people who have a lot of money, most of them, in their core are not happy? And why most of the people who are living that are constantly in stress? Most, not all, but most, you know? Because if you have a lot of real estate around the world, if you have a lot of apartments, whatever, that you rent out, you have constantly stress with them. And even if you have managed it to a way that you have secretaries all around, at the end of the day, there will be the governmental tax organization that taxes you down, you know. So by the end of the day, you did not yet realize that you are constantly and still working for the matrix. It doesn't matter whether you have no money or little money, you're a simple employee in a factory, or you are a millionaire or a billionaire. You are still part of that matrix and you don't have any freedom. And so, manipulating reality, let's dive into that for a moment, and then let's say versus surrendering to the path of life. If a human being is on the path of awakening, as I said it before, and realize that there is a matrix, a human being, through certain practices, there can be rituals, there can be psychological exercises, are able to manipulate reality. And that means, imagine you have, you come into a room, like in a kindergarten, and the whole room is full of the little Lego Playstones, you know, they are everywhere. So, you don't like how they are, so you start to move them around, right? Mm-hmm. You start to sort them how you think they are the best for you. The question, again, what I said already before, is it the best for others? And that actually is a question that we always need to ask ourselves on our earth walk. Is not what is good for me, is it beneficial for everyone? And what does that include? If it's beneficial for everyone, it includes me. So just to take away that notion that I am suffering for others. No, that's not what I meant, right? It is, if I live in a idea that I do things that is good for everyone, it's obviously I am everyone, right? I am everyone. So I don't exclude myself. Where do I go with manipulating this reality? It is undoubtedly that the human psyche has the ability to create and manifest things. Undoubtedly. I have practiced this in my life as well.
The question is, are we manipulating us and our reality in the right direction? Because by manipulating reality, I saw many situations where people start practices and, you know, they start doing in the morning affirmations, which might distract us, right? Like I don't really know, and maybe I will ask you how these affirmations are they distracting us, or are they helping us to implement into our subconscious mind and project a new reality for us that is can be beneficial?
I have an easier answer to that, because I like to explain the one mind, the absolute reality, the great spirit in very simple words. And I don't even want to go in subconscious psyche and psychology. It is very simple. Do you believe that there is an imperfection in your life, in the universe, and in everything that there is? If you believe it is so, you will go and start to manipulate it in order to make it in a way how your me and I consciousness, my ego consciousness, wants to have it. If you know, and I use the word know and not believe, if you know that the universal unfolding is perfect, and thus the earth walk of this being, of this life, what is the need of manipulating something? If I came to a state of awakening where I have the strength to surrender, to fully surrender And fully surrender means many things. And then I'm sitting there, and then I see what comes out. But the difference is, now I can sit there and can fear and say, oh my God, I don't have anything, and I will end up under the bridge. Well, what will happen? You will definitely end up under the bridge, and something bad will happen. I mean, bad. There is no good and bad. But something will happen that you would not like to have for yourself. While if I surrender, but surrender with an open mind, relaxed in ease, with no stress on what is going to be, life will carry me. And I say this for 30, 40 years. Mother Earth has created this body. It's 100% Mother Earth, right? As a full 100% human being, from this planet, Mother Earth has created these bones, this structure, this water, this blood, this everything. Do we believe that the Logos of Mother Earth is not taking care about its own creation, its own child? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay? And then the spirit that walks this body is from the one mind. It's the one mind. It's the one mind in a physical expression. And the one mind always moves in the direction of expansion and never in the direction of contraction. What does that mean? That by fully surrendering, we must not think or fear or believe that our body will not have enough food or will decay or will whatever. And we must not think that our mental state will get crazy or something like this. No, because this being is taken care of. Only if we believe we need to be the master, like this physical earth walk expression, this bodily aggregate with mind, spirit, and soul needs to command over life, then we start to embark in the road of troubles. We start to embark in the road of non-freedom, of constantly stress, of conflict, of unease, and all these kind of things, all these kind of attributes.
You mentioned many times by now about you need to fully surrender. What this implies, because as you said, first you need to come in stillness, first you need to come to be able to let go, and you need to overcome all these core beliefs that were implemented maybe 20 years. How do you change this? What is your perspective? What are your pointers?
Well, my pointers here is very simple. This cannot be changed by people who didn't partially go through the process of awakening. It cannot be changed. People who are in that box that you mentioned in the beginning, they can sit in front of the most amazing guru giving them pointers. They could sit in front of Buddha, they could sit in front of Jeshua or others, to mention just a few. They would not be able to perceive it. They would not be able to perceive it.
How the process of full awakening starts, or how can we, again, if we try to do something towards it, because obviously you hear on social media, hey, about fully awakened, and people might say, yes, I want to be fully awakened.
Okay, let's dive a little bit deeper into what, you know, people say that the human aggregate is able on its earth walk to, let's say, maneuver, meaning also manipulate, things to a certain degree within life. And then it's said that other things are already burned on that CD, as a metaphoric. You understand? The book is already written, right? So for example, which children you will have, whom you're going to marry, the day you are going to transform your physical appearance here, meaning the day you're leaving the earth and what people call dying, and so on and so on. Now, we have to go into the understanding of what a soul aggregate is. A soul aggregate is a soul that is on an earth walk experience. And this soul aggregate carries soul strands. And these soul strands are gathered from other earth walks, from other experiences, through other humans. So there is a certain absolute construction, a predefinition of what this soul aggregate in great terms is going through on this earth walk. So no matter how many pointers, if your soul aggregate on this earth walk is ready to do a certain expansion, then the expansion will happen through life. It will not happen through the perceptual thinking, meaning the control. It will not happen through a massive effort of something. So you have to have also a predetermined soulic blueprint.
How do you determine that?
There is nothing to determine, because here again, there is nothing for that human perceptual thinking to interfere with. Let's put it that way. You just have to accept, which at the end is a surrender again, to what it is. What is this experience meant to be? And in what state is this experience, I would even like to take the word allowed to be. And where does the allowing comes from? The allowing comes from karma. The allowing comes from karma. So meaning, how deep are the karmic imprints in these soul strands? According to that way is, will your life be determined here on earth more on more suffering, on more experiencing? Or is the life already in a state where you can dedicate more of your moments to dharma, you know, to your opera of doing something that decreases or that equilibrates the karma that your soul strands are carrying? However, absolutely and eventually not creating a new karma is very important. As everything is one, we need to understand that the quote or the saying, it's not a quote, but people say, well, you can do what you want, it's your karma. No, it's not your karma. You know, it's everything that is done is a collective karma, because all is one, the one mind. The one mind, the great spirit, the absolute reality is everything. So every deed that is done by a human being is infused in that one mind. And where do the soul strands come from for the earth walk? They all come from the one mind. They are the one mind. They are parts of the one mind. And so, I just wanted to say this because, you know, to not create that notion that everyone can become a marathon runner at every moment, right? Everyone absolutely can become a marathon runner. Everyone. The question is only where are you standing and how much training you still need, how much suffering you still need, how much sweat and pain you still need to go through, right, in order to form that marathon runner that at the end can run the 43 kilometers in 2.5 to 3 hours with ease, right? And so That is the point. That is the point here. So there is a predetermining aspect as a blueprint in this soul aggregate. People who are, there is actually a group that is in a state of pre-awakening or slowly awakening, you know, like the early morning phase, you know, when you wake up and you're people call it the sleep. I mean, the dream time is anything but sleep. It's actually the real life. But let's stay with the metaphoric. You at 7 o'clock, you know, your inner watch knows that the alarm clock rings at 7. So by 6:30, you already start to, you know. So in that phase, if you are in that phase, then pointers can very much help you. And for example, a pointer that I want to give to people is stop manipulating reality, because you miss life. You will not be able to go into freedom, and you will not be able to go into an expansion if you believe you need to manipulate reality by different kind of affirmations, manifesting and everything.
The illusion is that, as you said, people, by practicing these methods, you know, visualization boards, affirmation, somehow it really happens, right? And when you see things happening in your immediate reality, then you, of course, believe, as you said, belief is coming from, it implies the word lies, so you start to believe that, okay, this is the way to go. People, I think we, because we all went through a process, no matter what stage you are, fall into this confusion, and we are in between realities in a way or another, right? But the most important is, like, how do we start to align with life and let go everything, all the concepts, overcome all the core beliefs that we form here on our earth walk, or we are born with, or we, you know, gain through education, parents, whatever we encounter, and also past experiences that in a way becomes our traumas. Because if an event that is not comfortable or it's more unpleasant is happening, then you tend to project and repeat that experience until you learn. It's very unlikely that, when you mention about suffering, it's very unlikely that we see suffering as a neutral thing and go into the point of expansions, because the whole contraction is happening internally inside you, and you, until you reach that point of expansion, or you start questioning yourself, why I am still suffering, and embracing, accepting suffering, it's, you need to accept it, you need to go through it, right?
You mentioned when people see that things are working, and as I said, they are working, you know, absolutely, there is absolutely no doubt about that affirmations and manifestations are working, you know. If you have a positive attitude in your life towards making so and so much money, and you give your affirmations to it, and you keep these positive affirmations, positive vibe to it, it will happen. And here exactly the Maya hooks you up again. Here exactly the Maya hooks you up. The Maya gives you a little bit of food, and then you see, the food tastes good, I can get more. And so the Maya feeds you. Maya, the illusion, feeds you. Because where do you want to go with these affirmations? You want to go towards a better life. But the fact is, you cannot reach a better life through this way. You can have a life that, for the perceptual thinking, is more easy. Because at the moment you make more money, your idea is, well, if I make a lot of money through cryptocurrency, I can then sit on the beach in my wonderful house that I can buy, and I don't need to work in the factory anymore or in the office. So, well, if your entire goal in your existence is to sit at the beach and look at the house, if that's it, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, then you will achieve what you will need. And that's what I also said with the predetermining fact of what a blueprint is in a soul aggregate. Certain souls, through certain earthwalks, are not meant to go into the state of full awakening, are not meant yet to go into the state of enlightenment. It's their soul aggregate has a certain blueprint. And other people talk about young souls and old souls, you know, everyone has a certain dynamic to go through certain dimensions in order to go through that way of expansion. Because everything that came from the Godhead was this expansion. It was that sound Om that carried expansion. And that sound carried also the vibrational field of the KDI UCL, the Cosmic Divine Infinite Unconditional Compassionate Love. And that is that what has been given as a blueprint to all that there is. Now, this blueprint has been given also free will. This blueprint has been given also a consciousness. And out of a consciousness and out of a free will, all of a sudden, things started to grow. And from that growing came, and that growing, and that growing met that growing. This came together and grew and grew and grew. Imagine like a whole fungus under the earth that is connecting over the whole planet, right? And there is nothing bad in it, and there is nothing good in it. It's completely neutral. The question is, how long you want to take in your experience? How much do you appreciate your experience in now this dimension in the 3D, right? And obviously, normally a soul aggregate would be normally here a very short time, right? So watch out, because I say in other talks that a soul or a human being could normally easily live 600, 1000, 1200 years. Absolutely, and that's absolutely correct. Ken, however, if you come as a guest here onto this planet, onto this wonderful, beautiful planet, and blueprint, your soulic blueprint, is at a stage where you are very close to the full expansion, you will stay here only a very short time. A very short time. Because you also realize that it's a holiday. 2 weeks are enough, you know? 2 weeks holiday is enough. I don't need to stay half a year, metaphorically, compared to going on a vacation. So what do we have? We have the biggest part of the souls that come to this planet, and there was also since 1987 approximately a change when there was the first convergence. 1987 was the first convergence. The next one was in 2012, the famous Mayan calendar ending 2012, and then was 2018. And in this period of time, the, let's say, frequency of the sun rays have raised immensely, and that created a higher vibrational field on Earth. And in that period now, there is a new wave of soul aggregates coming in. You can see it nowadays with kids of 7, 8, 9, 10 year old talking like a 90 year old grandmaster, right? And so what we have is now a transition from, let's say, ancient wisdom carriers, a shift from ancient wisdom carriers into, so because the frequency is so much higher, so much faster, that these souls come in, young people come in very high expanded soul aggregates, and they will stay only a very short time. You will see all these children that are now 8, 9, 10, 11 years old and doing all these super consciousness conversations. You will see they will not be here for 90 or 100 years. It's not there. They're here for a certain period to help raise through their presence in their physical appearance, raise the vibrational field. When that is done, they have no task anymore here and they are free to leave again.
You are speaking about the role, and this was my also my thought, my question towards you about this super consciousness souls. And I feel the same. However, what is the role of the majority of dormants we have around us?
Well, the soul aggregates of the majority of dormant people that are around us, they are carrying soul aggregates. And these soul aggregates are composed of soul strands. And these soul strands have karmic imprints. So it's all about the experience in the three-dimensional. And the three-dimensional, as I always say, is the hardest density. And it's also the most difficult density, the most difficult of all the dimensions to, let's say, get along here. So while in the seventh or eighth or ninth dimension, it is very easy to apply the Kidia UCL, Cosmic Divine Infinite Unconditional Compassionate Love, in the third dimension is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Because the perceptual thinking doesn't like that person, doesn't like this food, I don't like how you behave here. So we have all that what we don't like, which is contraction. Yeah, the Kidia UCL stands for expansion. And we are living in this contraction, right? And so to find that balance in order so that these soul strands can be fully, I would say, flooded by this Kidia UCL, that is what the Earth Walk is about. The Earth Walk is not about experience for the perceptual thought. So the Earth Walk is not about to travel to Madagascar to lay on the beach and have a happy time. That is all distraction. So what 99% of people do here on this planet is to be distracted the whole time. They are completely distracted. They are completely distracted, and they are yearning and searching for experiences to experience something. You know, the more experience you have, the better it is. Whether it's in the business field, whether it's in traveling, whether it's in how many foods I've been eating, and so on. And this is, let's say, a misunderstanding of life. Misunderstanding applies good or bad. I want to explain it a little bit better, what I really mean to with that is it takes more of the physical appearances to do that. And we have all eternity. We have absolutely all eternity. And in that way, every soul aggregate can take its time and its experience. And that's how the entire existence is unfolding. Right?
What is, in your perception, an authentic way towards embracing the journey of life? What should be the state? How does it look like? And when I avoided the word spiritual path, because you just mentioned it's an intermediary step. So I would call it just how to live authentically.
Yeah, definitely the spiritual path is something to eventually give up.
Yeah.
It's something that I take like a medicine, but eventually it's done. Or like a cup, I take it, I carry it around with me for a certain moment, but eventually I will understand that the cup is not needed anymore. What is an authentic way? Well, very practical, I can talk about my life, is don't take life serious. Don't take life so serious. People who run around and say, we need to do that, we need to do that, we need that until tomorrow, we need to have that now. You know, if I don't do that, you know, then this and this and this happens. Life itself is to be taken serious. But the doings that people do in this thing that they call life, that they must take it much more playful. Really much more playful. Always think that the whole unfolding of my earth walk is nothing else than every day anew sitting with my friends when I was 3 years old in the sandbox and playing. It's nothing else than a big sandbox and play. And if you are standing somewhere and the policeman tells you, like this, you know, or you get a letter from something, always remember the sandbox. It's all part of the sandbox. However serious that letter is or that person is, or your mother tells you it needs to be done in that and that way, like my mother did, for example, it still depends on you whether you take it in that way, right? If somebody gives you a red shirt, it's on you to say, I want to wear the red shirt, or no, I don't like the red shirt. Correct? You can take the red shirt, yes, but you don't need to wear it. And that's the difference. That's the metaphoric here, right? The red shirt is the oppression of the system, of the system that are also the close people to you who are completely trained in that system, telling you this needs to be done. Well, okay, you can take it, but you don't need to wear it. And so take life easier. Nothing is going to happen to you, right? And I could end it with this phrase. I mean, I could end by saying, you anyway don't get out alive from here. So meaning, see it playful. Really see it playful. And what happens? And this is a testimony of my own life. Things unfold to your benefit by taking life not so serious and by being more playful and not by manipulating reality. And what eventually you get a freedom. You get a freedom because eventually your perceptual thought will also understand that nothing is as serious as it is applied to you in the external world. Nothing is going to happen to you.
May I ask you to tell us a little story from your life example to understand better the concept?
Of surrendering?
Surrendering and where you could perceive that you are in a sandbox and everything is happening towards your benefit, because that might be a pointer or an example that could change, you know, the way people see the things and their core belief, like staying in the now, seeing that even if you go through an unpleasant experience and the first moment you start to contract, see it like it's in your benefit. It's not on your path the other way, and just accept it, embrace it.
So as I mentioned before, there is a certain confinement within a human earth walk, right? According to the soul blueprints. Now, you can make your life as a human being very hard by trying to want to bend that in various ways. And what you will achieve is only hardship throughout your life. You will suffer, you will have stress, you will be not in peace, you will be not in ease, you will be restless. If you come to the understanding that it is so, and you give yourself to the flow of the river, right? You can take a metaphoric, you can be in a canoe, and you can paddle like crazy up the river on the left side, on the right side, on whatever. What happens? What happens? You sweat. You lose a lot of energy. You lose a lot of energy. And you battle, and you might even fear that, well, I cannot make it, I cannot do it. To the opposite, I give myself to the flow. Right? I give myself to the flow of life. I give myself to the river of life. And if I come to the conclusion, if I come to the ease that I can give myself to the flow of life without anything bad is happening to me, and you will come to that conclusion, to that understanding, to that learning, you automatically get rid of all the stress, of all the suffering, of all the hardship. Because very primitive saying is, very simple saying is, well, you can gain as much money as you want in your life, as much as real estate and whatever, at the end of the day you cannot take it with you. Right? It's a simple saying, right? We call a farmer saying, right? A peasant saying. But how much truth is in there? How much deepness is in there? The deepness is not that obviously when I die I cannot take the house away. But what is the deepness in there is to understand that that in the first place, let it go. You don't need that. You get much faster to a much easier and a life full of alignment and ease if you let go of these things, of these ideas, right? And a little story of my life, my grandfather, when I was a youngster and later I became an entrepreneur, I was an entrepreneur very young, I found my first company when I was 19. And of course, in the first years, you struggle with money, you struggle business things and the bank calls you and all these kind of things. And my grandfather was an entrepreneur and he had money and I would consult myself with him and I would not go to him to ask for money. I said, the bank called again and you know if I don't pay by Monday this and that, you know, then this and that, and that made me really nervous, you know. This made me really, and he was sitting there, you know, and saying, don't you worry, something will happen. And because of his authority and he was a man, he had gray hair, and it gave me such a calmness and a peace. So it's not that he gave me money to solve the thing. I walked away with peace. He gave me a pointer. He gave me a pointer. And indeed, always something happened. And why? I used the words of my grandfather to ease me and not to get crazy about it. So here I took the life, what I just said before, empowered by the words of my grandfather, I was able to take life more easy. I was like going, okay, if my grandfather says something will go to happen, and obviously he meant something positive, something is going to happen. That created such an ease in me that literally something was always happening. And again, it was not my grandfather who that Monday would give me the money. But some unexpected payment was coming in, or the bank manager that wanted the money absolute on that day fell ill, and only 2 weeks, and no colleague was picking it up, and only 2 weeks. Little examples of life. Meaning, again, what I said already before in the conversation, you're always taking care of, if you let that higher thing, that one mind, that absolute reality, that great spirit, maneuver you through that earthwalk. Always when you take over the steering wheel, then you end up you are too fast and you will not make the next curve and you end up in a crash, always. But when you give the steering wheel away, then you can be sure it's taken care of. But to come to that understanding, to surrender to literally all situations in life, surrender really means to give up any notion of control. Whether it's over the physical body, whether it's, okay, I don't have any money, what will happen next month? Something will always happen, you know? Something will always happen. And it's overcoming this uncomfortable situation, this fear situation. Some people say fear is something very good, because fear triggers in us, it's like an alert state that says something is wrong, you need to look at it. I don't share that opinion, because if I already come to that idea that something is wrong, right, I'm living in that notion, good or bad, right, and here I'm again, I'm off surrendering. And that is the huge difference of a life in non-duality versus a life of duality, where in duality everything is constantly in a reflection and opposition to something, right? And also in an opposition to something, instead of a non-duality, which is the complete surrender. And people say humans have been given consciousness compared to animals or to plants. Now the question is, if you look at it, very simple question, who lives more in ease on this planet? Are these the beings without consciousness, or are these the beings with consciousness? And what brings consciousness? Consciousness brings the free will, right? And what brings free will? Free will brings also destruction. Free will brings also suffering. And here again, I said before, most of the people cannot connect the dots. They have no idea that through their free will, the suffering was coming. They cannot connect that dot. That their action that happened creates that outcome, that reaction. That reaction in their perception is coming from somewhere. Their reaction is coming from destiny. Well, that's my destiny. You know, like Indian caste system. It's my destiny to be poor my whole life.
I would like to point a bit, because you mentioned about fear. I don't want our listener to maybe think that fear doesn't have a good aspect, I would like to see it also as a neutral point. And here I would like to give an example to make a distinction. For example, a Bambi, because you mentioned about her in our conversation today, that fear gives us this alert system and run away from the predator. That's a different type of fear, right? Like we are looking at, do you want to elaborate on it?
Yeah, of course, there is the immediate fear of survival of the human body on this planet that alerts us. Hey, don't step there, otherwise you fall down. You see? Like, and then you... I would say, let's distinct between fear and worrying, you know? Because worrying actually is that thing, that chatter in the mind that goes on all the time, that might come. Fear actually is not the correct word, because fear is really something like scientists can obviously perfectly explain what happens when that fear is coming into the body. All kind of systems are going alert in the body, neurons start to go crazy and stuff like this, and I'm fully alert in that moment. So that kind of fear, and here it's again language, I would not even want to call that fear, while there is also another thing that is fear that has nothing to do with this. This is more like an alert bell, right, for life. Now, let's say another example is, you have been walking down a street and somebody has robbed you in the night, right? On a park. And they hit you and you were in hospital or whatever. It doesn't matter. Just somebody has robbed you. So now, what is the difference between fear and worrying for walking down again that path, right? The worrying is that you sit there in the non-immediate reality. Oh, it could happen again, it could happen again, it could happen again. So I should not go down there, I should not go down there, because, you know, you're living practically in that past experience. That is creating a worry, right? And if it happens again, you know. And that worry can expand, obviously, to saying, oh, wow, it happened in this park, but I cannot go in the night anymore at all, or I should not go to a park. So that fear expands, you see? And something that happened locally on one space, all of a sudden, in the mind, is expanded to all over the city, all over the country, all over the world, you know? And in the next moment, all of a sudden, the whole world is not safe anymore. Because that was your experience. And what is the fear? The fear is that you go there, and in your immediate reality, nothing has happened, but you walk through the park, and your body is completely alert. But now, the alertness comes from a different source. Right? When we say beneficial and malevolent source, you know, when I step and I almost fall and I get this alert, it's coming from a benevolent source because it's protecting the body. Ooh, I was maybe dreaming, I was doing a wrong step, and I immediately, boom, and that there is this feeling there. And I don't want to call this again fear. While when you again walk that park and there is no one there to rob you, it's just you and the trees and the night. But you first you have been worrying, but then you said, okay, well, I have to go through that park, so I need to go. And then you are full of fear, and that fear keeps your body alert, and you're shivering, you walk through that park. Nonetheless, in your immediate reality here, nothing happens, nothing is there. The thief is not there, nobody is there, you're just alone. And that creates a contraction within you, right? What has happened before and after? Before and after, what has happened? Before when you were robbed and after when you were not robbed and you went through the body. In both, but you went through there with fear. In both moments you were not surrendering to life. In both moments you were not surrendering to life. This situation in the park, and I guarantee, only happened because the being to what that happened is a worrying being that is constantly, and here we are coming back to affirmations. Affirmations are not only positive. I can sit there and say I'm healthy, healed, and complete. It's a positive affirmation. But the negative affirmation, I don't speak them, but they are running through my mind all the time. And because I do so much, so why do we think, it's a very good topic here, that thing with the park, and why do we think that a positive affirmation works? And it does work. Meaning, and why can we then not make the dots that my worrying thoughts are nothing else than also affirmations and at the end manifestations? The universe only understands that. So the universe gives me what I'm worrying for. But the universe does not know that you're worrying. The universe only realizes energy, frequency, and vibration. And if you give your energy, frequency, and vibration to that, the universe will present you with such an experience, right? And as funny as it may sound, it is like this. It is like this. And, you know, you can go into statistics to whom things like this happen. And you look at the statistics and you will see it's people that are fearful, that are worrying all the time. These kind of things happening. So, with the power that the human being has, you can make positive affirmations, and you do, and not you can, you do, every human being does it also makes negative affirmations. Negative meaning non-benevolent affirmations for your life. And the only way out of that is to surrender, because as long as you stay in the control, it's all manipulation. Control is always manipulation. What means manipulation? What means manipulation? Manipulation means to not accept that unfolds naturally. That's a manipulation. To not accept, if I take an object, I put it from here to here, I have manipulated that immediate reality, right? If a leaf falls down and by the grace of the universe, the leaf lands on the roof of my car, it was supposed to be like this. If I take it, I have manipulated, and that's not negative or positive, but I'm just saying, what does that mean? What means manipulation in a very simple example? So whenever I attempt to change a situation, right, that's a manipulation. And as long as I stay in the narrative of manipulation, of control, I stay in the world of duality. And as long as I stay in the world of duality, I will always stay in the world of unease, of suffering, and of non-peace. And only when I fully surrender. And for me, it's let's say, easy to talk about that, because I have surrendered fully to life in a very, very young age, since I was a child. And I don't say that I have not done manipulations and tried to control life, of course. But at the core, I always woke up again and say, hey, you know, take it easy, you know. Everything is taken care of for you, all the time. For everything. There is nothing that you need to worry about. And this is one thing. There's nothing that you need to worry about. So for someone who is deeply worried, it's obviously not so easy to jump out of that pattern. And here again, as we said in the beginning of the conversation with the example of the Bambi, slow steps. Slow steps, and then be open to connect the dots. You made a slow step, and the answer to that slow step comes a little bit later. But remember that that was the answer. Know that that was the answer to that. And once you get more confident, oh, I made a step and I got the good answer. Make another step, get another answer. And so life becomes to flow more benevolent with less suffering.
Very beautiful.
I would like to make a small remark, but just the thought is coming from your explanation about controlling, which is coming and manipulating reality. So what we manipulate generally is what we know. Because, for example, if everyone wants to be rich or beautiful, or and they try even to manipulate their aesthetics, like physical body nowadays, this can only come from what you know, like, and you perceive with your brain. But that inner knowing, it's something very different. Something that is coming through you, and you know that's your truth, and that you are pushed towards it. Can we make a distinction between these two?
Let's call it innate knowing. There is something like innate knowing. And innate knowing, I also want to make a distinction here between intuition and innate knowing. And intuition is something that you say, well, should I go? Should I not go? No, my intuition tells me not to go. Okay? Intuition takes as a millisecond of a thought. You know? There's a process going on for intuition, you know. You get a question, and for a moment you have the tendency to say no, and then you double check it internally with your intuition, and you know, like, my intuition says it doesn't feel good. Okay, the answer is no. Innate knowing is seeing the absolute reality. Meaning, receiving the information from the Absolute Reality. I get a question, and without any thought, and this is not coming from the perceptual thinking. I get a not a question, do you know how much 10 plus 10 is? A question like, do you want to give a talk on this and this venue, right? No, I don't want. Without informing myself about what that venue is, who is organizing it, where it is, how you know what I mean. That is spoken from innate knowing. That is spoken from a source of absolute reality. Right?
Bear, during our conversation from today, which was, by the way, very beautiful, you tried to explain how we bend reality and control situation, and something came to me. And I would like to express it for our listener that whenever you try to control something based on what you know in your perceptual thinking, you cannot expect that life would unfold something that you don't know, that unfolds something more beautiful. Can we make a, and this is coming, as you say, by surrendering to life and by letting go all that you know. And of course, it's also coming, you are guided by your internal compass, by your innate knowing. Can we make a distinction between controlling, innate knowing, and intuition?
So the answer is yes and no to your first question. If you come from a perceptual thinking that you want to control life, how can you expect that the mystic of life is unfolding, right? That's something that you don't know will be presented for you from life. And the answer here is no, you cannot expect life to unfold, and chances that you will exactly experience of what you have wished for and manifested are very high. And that's why you stay always in a narrow tunnel, because of what you, little perceptual thought, are able to think and to vision is so little than life would have ready for you. So you are keeping yourself artificially in a very dark tunnel, in a very small tunnel. And on the other side, the answer can also be, yes, you can expect that life unfolds something in front of you that you didn't expect, but not what you expected. You see, life will give you what you need, right? Life will give you what you need. And the more you try to control this, the more the life will trigger you with hardship and suffering. That's a fact. The more you give yourself, the less you suffer. And the more you try to control it, the more you have to go through a learning curve, through a hardship.
Thank you very much. It was a very enlightened conversation. Do you have a final message to our listener?
Absolutely. I have a final message to our listener. When you wake up in the morning, try to have that thought, and that should not be an affirmation. It should definitely not be an affirmation. But take the day, that day that is in front of you, from the morning to the evening. Do it for one day, that you take everything as if you would play in a sandbox. As if you would play in a sandbox. Whatever happens to you during that day, in your work, in with your partner, with whatever, always remember everything that is coming to you, your partner that wants something in work or whatsoever, are just friends from the sandbox, right? And everyone is just playing with some tools in the sandbox, and take it in that way. Take it with ease. Don't take it ridiculously. Take it with ease, and you will and then see what comes out in the evening. And if you liked it, do it again upon next waking up.
Appreciate very much.
Very welcome.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening episode of Manipulating Reality versus Embracing the Journey of Life. We hope this discussion has provided you with valuable insights into the importance of living in the present moment and embracing the journey of life as it is. Remember, true spiritual growth lies in experiencing and learning from our current reality rather than chasing after future illusions. Stay tuned for more pointers into spiritual wisdom and personal growth in our upcoming episodes. Until next time, stay present and keep growing.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.